Purple Trees and a Will to Believe. Chapter 1. The day they lowered her casket into the ground, I cried. Everyone was there to keep an eye on Sander and Solomon, so I figured I'd have a moment to myself. The last moment I'd ever have to myself. Dad wasn't good at handling these types of things, so it was as good a guess as any that I'd have to take on important roles going forth. Cooking, cleaning, making sure the boys got on the school bus, helping them with their homework, while all my friends are at the mall shopping for swimsuits to wear to Bobby's birthday pool party, I'm stuck in Vermont at a funeral. They said their moms wouldn't let them travel alone. They also said they didn't own the cost of a plane ticket in their piggy banks. I said it was okay. I don't like making people feel bad. But deep down, I wish they were meditating at home, or at least thinking of me. Instead, they're out shopping for swimsuits. I know because my phone vibrated in my dress pocket. I snuck a peek. Kellyanne sent a picture with the caption, "Which one, blue or pink?" She didn't do it to be mean. She was actually trying to cheer me up. So I guess that means she was thinking of me. Still, the picture made me feel worse. Even her body is better looking than mine. Try looking at a picture of someone who has a flatter stomach than you on the day your mom is being laid to rest. Why did Mom leave Dad, me, Sander, and Solomon? Dad and I never did get along much before. It's like the wrong parent passed away, and instead of having two younger sisters to take care of and maybe go shopping with when things get bad at the house, I have boys to take care of. I love my brothers, but boys just handle their emotions so differently, at least compared to girls, that is. They fart at the dinner table and blow snot bubbles with their nose. Did you know, when the doctors officially pronounced Mom dead, Sander and Solomon never shed a tear? I think it's weird. Why didn't they just bury her here, in California? Do I have to hop on a plane every time I want to visit her? I'm only 11. I own 68 cents to my name. Dad said she wanted to be buried next to her twin sister. Aren't husbands and wives supposed to be buried next to each other? Mom was never that close to Dad. I mean, I'm sure at one point she loved him. She had 3 kids with him, but he never got sober, and it only got worse when she got sick. I hate alcohol. I'm never taking a drink as long as I'm alive. Before she passed, she reminded me that Sybil means prophetess, or someone who speaks for God. If she was asking me to step up and pastor the church when I got older, I knew it was never going to happen. I don't believe in God anymore. At least I'm not sure if there's a God. Because if there is a God, it was a pretty mean thing for him to do. He took my only mom and left me with 2 gross 8-year-old brothers and an alcoholic father. I find it ironic that Mom reminded Sander of his name and how it means to defend or help. She reminded Solomon that he represented a man of peace. A. Sander is 8. No 8-year-old can protect anyone, let alone an 800-square-foot house from a 6'2", 230-pound man with a beer belly swinging an empty bottle around like a shotgun during one of his drunken rages. It's like, when he smashes stuff, I can hear the walls crumbling around me. Figuratively speaking, but still. B. Solomon is definitely not peaceful. He has ADHD really bad. ADHD stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. It means you're really hyper and have trouble concentrating. He can't help it, and yet he gets whacked every time Dad thumps the back of his ear and yells, "Focus!" When Solomon fails to listen, that's when he really gets it. I close the door to my room so it muffles the screaming. Mom wanted a bigger house, but Dad spent all their savings on the liquor. Hard liquor. If Grandma hadn't driven us to the airport, the five of us would have never made it on the airplane. She told him to shave for the memorial service. I thought he'd at least listen to his own mother. But no, he can't even do that. I didn't dare tell him to shave, or I'd get the belt for sure. 5 lashes, easily, just for speaking up. I think Grandma knows about the beatings. Fear keeps her from taking action. She's just as afraid as Sander, Solomon, and I. Will he come after her, too, if she speaks up, or worse, reports him to the authorities? I don't think she knows what he's capable of doing. None of us do. He's a nasty man when he's drunk. Okay, I guess, when he's sober. But lately, we don't get these breathers of 2 to 3 days in between his drunken rages. The rages are coming faster than I can keep up with. I know he's depressed, but so is everyone else. Like, I'm hurting inside, but you don't see me going around making everybody else's life miserable, do you? That would be selfish. I'm not a selfish person. I don't remember Mom talking much about how it all began. Like, was Dad drunk on their first date? She always told Nenek, as my brothers and I called her, that was her mom, how much she wanted to meet a handsome, caring young man. When we were little, I can remember my brothers and I crawling up onto the couch to sit beside Nenek. I was 6. Sander and Solomon were 3, while she had the family photo albums out. I'd pointed a picture of a beautiful, vibrant-looking and thin couple, and she'd tell me the story of how Mom and Dad met. Dad definitely didn't have a beer belly then, so I can only guess he hadn't started drinking. Or if he had, it hadn't become a problem yet. There were only a few times I can remember where Mom shed a tear in the kitchen. Her hands would be over her face so Sander, Solomon, and I couldn't see her crying. But I could tell, because once the water had dried from around her eyes and she'd pull her hand away to set the dinner table, her whole face would look red and puffy. But, I'd start to say, I know, she'd interrupt, before adding, his daddy did it to him. Did what? I'd wonder out loud, and before the conversation would go any further, I'd get shot down with a look of daggers in her eyes that spoke volumes until I eventually figured it out. Grandpa was abusive. He passed away before I was born, but I'm thankful I never got to know him. I mean, if Dad was capable of the small wrench in the garage, there's no telling what Grandpa was capable of. Grandpa made Dad mean. He made Dad yell, scream, hit, kick, and throw whatever tangible object he could find in the house or garage at you. Grandpa must have taught Dad everything he knows about physical and verbal abuse. Perhaps Dad drank and hit and yelled and screamed, all because his father had made him feel like a worthless pile of nothing his whole life. It was a hard concept to wrap my head around. Why would anyone want to make others feel bad about themselves? Why couldn't we all just be nice to one another and get along like the characters in my stories I was always making up? The pastor had a few closing words to say about Reverend Smith. That was my mother. Reverend is a title used before the name of an appointed Christian religious leader. I let my mind wander off. How dare he fill everyone on the lawn with his words of wisdom and hope? There was no hope for a better future, at least not in my house. Maybe he went home to a loving wife who set the table just right. There was no illness or kids who got punished for putting the butter knife on the wrong side when setting the table. Funny thing, as much as Dad acted all loopy when he was drunk, there was calculation to everything he did. He filled us with fear, unlike anything I've ever felt from that awful metal wrench before. It was small and lightweight, but try swatting the back of your leg a few times with one. It stings. Dad said if we ever told a single soul, we'd be sorry. Then he'd take my brothers and I by hand out into the garage and show us the shovel, the hammer, the rake, whatever he could find hanging on the wall to intimate what might come after the wrench if we told on him. That's what made it almost impossible to believe in a higher power. No one ever came to my rescue. No one ever came to Mom's rescue. No one ever came to Sander or Solomon's rescue. No one ever listened to my desperate cries for help in the middle of the night when Mom was sick and Dad couldn't hit her, so instead, Sander and Solomon got it. I know Dad loved Mom, probably more than she loved him. That's because he needed Mom. Mom smoothed everything over. She was the real peacemaker, not Solomon, even though I know his name means peaceful. Mom was the only kind of wife Dad could have. She never talked back. She just did as she was told. I don't blame her for not defending us kids more, because she couldn't defend us more than she already tried to when she was healthy. She was the classic abused woman they often talk about on television. You hear it on Oprah, although I only saw Oprah on days when I was homesick from school and Dad was at work. Mom would turn it on and watch it while having her coffee. If Dad came home early, he worked in construction, she had to turn off the television. There wasn't much you could do when Dad was around. He was much too controlling. Everything was always his way or the highway. Whatever Dad wanted to eat, we ate. Wherever Dad wanted to go on vacation, that's where we went. Dad shook hands with almost everyone at the memorial service that day. He looked like he hadn't shaved in over a week. His salt and pepper facial hair was creepy to say the least, but his teeth were so white they looked fake. Actually, they are fake. I remember when Dad went gambling in this casino one weekend with his drinking buddies, while Mom, Sander, Solomon, and I had the best 3 days to ourselves, doing pretty much whatever we wanted. Dad came back and had won a hefty sum of money at the blackjack table. He had porcelain veneers put on all 5 of his front teeth the following week. Personally, I think they look too white. I was only 9 years old at the time, and even then I was skeptical about Dad's win. Either he cheated or took a bunch of the guys out back and beat them until they caved and paid up what he thought he had won. He never played fair in anything he did in life. So why was I supposed to believe he played fair this time? I didn't believe he had won the money fair and square. When he returned home from that trip, his right knuckles were all bandaged up. But of course, he lied his way through that one, too. A glass broke back in the hotel room, and when I went to pick up the pieces in the sink, Mom didn't challenge his pathetic lie or question his win. She was just happy that he was happy, and when Dad was happy, there were usually a few days where the wrench stayed in the garage or the belt on his waist.